So each week here at Fruitland and in many congregations around the country and around the world, we pray something called the Lord's Prayer. And there's a line in it that says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And it's a prayer for the kingdom of God. And what is the kingdom of God? Well, the prophets in the Old Testament describe it as a place where justice rolls down like a mighty river, righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. The kingdom of God is a place where swords are built, turned into plowshares and swords into pruning hooks. It's a place where the lion lays down with the lamb. Jesus describes it as a place where the merciful and the kind-hearted and the peacemakers are blessed. Jesus describes it as a place where the first are last and the last are first. Jesus describes it as a place where forgiveness flows freely. It's a place where the hurting are helped and the lost are found. That's the kingdom of God. And so we come each and every week and we pray for that. And then we come back the next week and we pray for it again. And we come back the next week and we pray for it again. And we come back the week after that and the week after that and the week after that. Which reminds me of a story that Annie Dillard tells in one of her books. Annie Dillard is an author, writer, and she talks about time where she was visiting this small church. I think it was down south somewhere. She visits this small church and she gives this description of it. But she talks about the pastor praying. And the pastor is going through a prayer and he's praying in this long pastoral prayer. He's praying about wisdom for the leaders. He's praying about grace and mercy for those who are hurting and in pain. And then she says this, in the middle, he stopped and burst out, "Lord, we bring you these same petitions every week." And then she goes on and says, after a shocked pause, he continued reading the prayer. "Because of this, I like him very much." But that line, "Lord, we bring you these same petitions every week." Does it ever feel like that? Where we come and we have these prayers. Maybe it's for peace in the world. You're praying for peace in the world and you look around and it doesn't happen. Maybe you think, well, that war stopped, but another one started over here. We pray for an end to famines, to floods, to fear, all the things that seem to be marks that go against the kingdom of God. And we come back week after week and we continue to offer up those same petitions, those same prayers. And we might ask ourselves, why do we keep doing it? Why do we continue in these prayers when it seems like little has changed? When it seems like there is injustice everywhere? When we look around and we say, this is not the kingdom of God? I think this story that Jesus tells, this parable in Luke chapter 18, might point us in the right direction of why we continue on. So Luke chapter 18 follows Luke chapter 17 in our Bible. So there's always these blinding insights that I want to give you on a Sunday morning. So Luke 18 comes after. What happens in Luke 17? Luke 17, Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. He's talking about when it will come, where it will come, how it will come, and that we have to be ready. Jesus doesn't give a timetable. He doesn't know when, but he says we have to be ready for the coming of the kingdom of God. And so he's been talking about this and all these questions. And then it says he gave them a parable. Parable is simply a story that he tells to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Which kind of seems this strange thing because he's been talking about the coming of the kingdom of God. And then he kind of jumps into this prayer thing. And what is this? How does this relate to him coming back and the restoration of the kingdom? And we'll see what it is. But fortunately, he gives an explanation for it. Because the story itself is honestly, kind of a weird one. It's a little challenging with this widow and this judge. But what we have to realize is Jesus isn't suddenly deciding to give a lesson on prayer, but it's deeply connected to what he has just been talking about. So he's saying we pray and not give up. And when we listen to the story of this widow who's seeking justice against her adversary, we're not told what the justice issue is, what's going on. But all we are told about this woman is she just persists. She keeps coming to this judge time after time after time, asking him to bring justice. Not unlike a small child sometimes who wants something, right? And they just come again and again and again to mom or dad, to grandma or grandpa, can I please, can I please, can I please? And I know we know better, but sometimes parents and grandparents, what do? We say fine, because we're tired of the pestering. Do you think that's what Jesus is talking about? That if we just pester God enough, if we just bug God enough, he'll say, fine, I'll do it. I don't think that's what Jesus is getting at here. I don't think Jesus is saying the key to prayer, the magic of prayer, is to be a pest, to keep bugging God and you'll get what you want. It's not about our prayers are unanswered because we haven't tried hard enough. This isn't a formula for successful prayer. It's just like, oh, just keep bugging God and he'll give you what you want. Just keep bugging God. Just get a lot of people to bug God. Call everybody you know. Put it on every prayer chain across the country and around the world. Post it on Facebook and on X and on TikTok, and God will finally listen to you. I don't think that's what Jesus is getting at here. He's saying something else about prayer and not giving up on prayer for the kingdom. So this story has two characters. This very brief story that he tells, the two characters. One is, there's a widow. The widow could be young, she could be old. We don't know much about her. We don't know what her situation is. We don't know who this adversary is. The only one thing we can know about her as a widow is what the rest of the Bible, God has told us, that we as God's people have an obligation to care for widows. That's the one thing we can say for certain about her. And then there's a judge. The judge would be someone in position of authority deciding cases. And the one thing we know about this judge is what Jesus tells in the parable is, he uses the words of the judge himself, I don't fear God or care what people think. In other words, he is not a man of compassion. He's not interested. He doesn't fear God. In other words, he's not concerned about God's laws and God's rules. He's not interested in doing what God considers right. We don't know what the issue is or what's happening. She just wants his justice. And then this line is like, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, she keeps pestering me, she keeps bugging me, I'm going to give her justice so she won't eventually come and attack me. You think, man, I mean, she must be really persistent, huh? Whatever. We don't know if the widow would actually do that or not. But the judge has this impression like, this woman is not going to give up. And if I don't give her what she wants, it doesn't have anything to do with justice. It doesn't have anything to do with being a good judge. It doesn't have anything to do with being the right thing. I'm going to protect myself. Because the next time she comes in, she might come swinging. I mean, some commentator says, like, you know, she might try and give me a black eye. I don't know what she's going to do to me, so I'm going to give her what she wants. And so if you think about that story, it's a really weird story for Jesus to tell. I mean, if you just had the story and not the little explanation at the beginning and the end, what would you do with this weird story? I mean, if you just said, oh, Jesus told a parable about a widow who wanted justice, and she kept pestering the judge, and the judge finally gave her what she wanted because he was afraid she might attack him if he didn't give her what she wanted. Like, what, Jesus? What's that all about? But he explains it, fortunately, it makes sense. And so the question is, what is Jesus getting at? What is he inviting his listeners then to take away from this story? And what about us? And one of the things we see is at the end of the story where he says, and God will not bring about justice for his chosen ones. In other words, he's making a contrast. He's saying God is not like this judge. The judge is only doing it because the woman kept bothering him and she's afraid. But when we think about God bringing justice, Jesus is reminding the people, he's reminding us, that the reason God brings justice is because God wants justice. God's justice comes not because we ask enough for it, but because that's the character of God. He's told us he's going to bring justice. in some sense, it's a parable to remind us what God is like. That God will bring justice to the world. Now, it might be slow in coming, and we're well aware of that. We can look around the world and see that justice is slow in coming. Martin Luther King Jr. said, the moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends towards justice. In other words, we can go through these periods of time, but over time, God will bring about justice. And ultimately, God will bring about justice when Jesus returns and makes all things right. And in the meantime, as we're living our day-to-day lives, as we're reading the newspaper, as we're involved in our community, as we're seeing things going on, whether it's in our local community, in our country, around the world, justice may seem slow in coming. It may seem like unjust rulers are getting their way. It may seem like the rich are taking advantage of people. It may seem like all the things are going in the wrong direction. But Jesus wants to remind us that God will bring justice, though it's slow in coming. He's saying that God's justice will prevail even when the evidence seems contrary to that. When we look around, and just last week, for example, we name off any number of things. Last Sunday in the Democratic Republic of Congo, there was a group of terrorists who entered into a number of churches and into a village with machetes and killed over 49 people and burned houses and terrorized these people. And you might read that and say, when is it going to change? This doesn't look like the kingdom of God. These were people gathered in a church to worship God, to worship Jesus, and people came in and slaughtered them with the machetes. We say, that doesn't look like the kingdom of God. And so sometimes it feels, maybe to us in the moment, and maybe not just in the moment, but in the weeks, the months, even the years of prayer, it may feel like God is like the judge in this story, that he's not listening. That he's ignoring our request for justice. Because remember, what did the widow come to him for? We're not told the details, but she's pleading for justice. She's pleading, and justice is simply the word, is closely related to the word righteousness. Justice is things made right. And so the woman is pleading for righteousness. She's pleading for justice, and it's not happening. And so sometimes we maybe feel like God is like the judge in this story. That the justice isn't coming, even though we come day after day, week after week, in our morning prayers and our evening prayers, whenever throughout the day, and we're coming and the justice isn't coming. But Jesus is saying God is not like that. The story isn't to tell us that God is like that, that you just need to bug him enough, that God isn't a good. He's saying, you see that judge? Justice eventually came through that judge, but God isn't like that at all. God will bring justice because that's who God is. And so what the story is that Jesus gives is to say, in light of this and knowing what God is like, Jesus is saying to us, I know that it's easy to lose heart sometimes when we face persecution, when we face injustice, when we face oppression. When we see all that, when we say prayers and we look and say, God, I long for justice in the world. I long for a place where there's people living according to the kingdom of God, and I'm not seeing it. Sometimes we can get weary. We can get tired. And we can wonder, oh, how do I keep praying this? How do I keep coming back week after week? And Jesus is telling this story to say, in spite of the injustice, in spite of what you see with your eyes, in spite of what's going on inside your heart and inside your gut and inside your head, keep on praying. Keep on praying for the kingdom of God. It's a story to remind us that when we wonder, when in those moments of doubt, when in those moments of wonder, if we wonder if God is moved by our prayers, it's a story to say, keep on praying. Keep on praying because the God we know, the God we serve is a God of justice, and he will bring justice So keep on praying, even when it doesn't look like those prayers are being answered. It's a story to remind us to continue to bring the injustices of the world before God when it seems pointless. When there seems to be no progress, when the results are not immediate, because God's justice will prevail in the end. It's a reminder when we say the same prayers every week. When we come back week after week and say, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. And each one of us probably has particular things we pray for. Particular things that we look around the world, our neighborhood, our country, our state, far across the oceans. There's something that burns deep in our heart, and we see the injustice. We see what does not look like the kingdom of God, and it burns deep, and we continue to persist in prayer. And Jesus is telling us, keep on praying. Don't give up. Because there will come a day when Jesus will come back. I can't tell you when or where or how. And Jesus tells in John chapter 17 as he's describing it, he describes it as, he says, it will talk about a day when, you know, people are eating and drinking and marrying and giving up in marriage. In other words, it's just going to happen in the everyday goings on of life. Jesus recognizes that we can get tired in our prayers. That sometimes it's easy to give up. That sometimes we get weary because it feels like the justice isn't coming. It feels like the kingdom of God isn't showing up. It feels like God isn't listening. And Jesus is saying, God is listening. God is at work and God will bring the kingdom. It's a reminder to remain faithful, to keep living and acting as if Jesus will return and make all things new. Like one scholar he was writing about, he says this, in such moments when history deals unrelenting, unjust suffering, and when God has seemed distant and silent, why go on believing in God? And he goes on, he says, this is the challenge to persevering faith that Jesus' parable invites readers to consider. When the world seems unrelenting, when we see death and injustice and unjust suffering going on, what keeps us going? Jesus reminding us that God is listening. God is not like the unjust judge. But instead, God is a judge who deals and rules with justice. God is a judge who hears and listens. And one day, he will make all things right. And he's saying, I want you to keep on praying. He ends there, he says, however, when the Son of Man comes, in other words, when I return, Jesus is referring to himself, will I find faith on the earth? And he's saying, that's what faith looks like. That's in part what this nature of faith is to keep on praying, to keep on believing that God will bring justice even when we don't see it with our eyes. That's what faith looks like. Faith is prayer and prayer is faith as we continue to do that, to have faith. And the faith is not in our own persistence. The faith is not in our own perseverance. The faith is not in us saying the right words. To pray in faith means to trust in God, who is faithful and just. So when we're stumbling over the words, if we're not sure the words are coming out right, when we're stumbling and we're saying, God, I keep saying these same prayers and I don't feel like you're listening. I keep seeing injustice and suffering all over. God, when are you going to do something? Jesus comes beside us and says with this story, I know it's hard. I know it's not easy. But I want to remind you, I want to tell you, I want to promise you, I want to guarantee to you that God is listening and God will bring justice. So keep praying. Continue on. And when we're struggling, when we're in those moments of faith, we can turn to God and say, God, help me. We can turn to the Spirit and say, God, I'm struggling. I'm having trouble praying. Help me because I need your help to pray. Or we can turn to our friends, to our family, to our church folks around us, and we can say to somebody, say, there's these issues and I'm struggling. I want to give up. Because sometimes we need somebody to just come along beside us and say, I'll pray with you. Let's pray together. And to keep going beside it. And that's one of the gifts that God gives to us in the church, in what we call this body of Christ, is others to come alongside and to help us when we're struggling. This is a story that asks us to consider this question. Will I continue to bring my prayers to God when all evidence demands that I abandon it as worthless? Will I continue to bring my prayers to God when all evidence with my eyes demands that I abandon these prayers as worthless? And Jesus is saying, no. Keep praying. Jesus is praying with us. It's one of the other great promises that the Bible gives us is that Jesus is before God praying for us and with us. That the Spirit, God's Spirit is within us and helping us to pray. So we are not alone in this struggle. When we struggle in our prayers, and we do, this is a story to remind us in part, that's not unusual. There's not something wrong with you if you're struggling in your prayers. And God is aware that you struggle, but he invites us to continue to pray. Not out of our own strength, but out of his strength. Not out of our own goodness, our own ability, but trusting that he is a faithful God. That he is a just God who hears and answers those prayers. So may we continue to lean on the goodness and the faithfulness and the justice of God, who will indeed do all things right. Amen.